I can't keep up with what's happening in the world. And so we're going to have a little bit of an update, and I'm going to pray that the clock stands still. If it happened for Joshua, maybe it can happen for Jack. But let's just pray one more time together. Father, we just ask you that you'd make sense of this. Lord, I confess this morning my head is scrambled with so much information going on around the world that clearly relates to your people, Israel, or to the world, or to America, for that matter, to end time events staging up. So Lord, give us ears to hear and give us a wise discernment of your word. And Father, never should we, the church, be alarmed by last day's events and prophetic fulfillments or alignments. The fact of the matter is, you told us your word. You gave us your word not to scare us, but to prepare us. You made that very clear. And God, we just ask in Jesus' name that this morning, Father, that as we look to your truth, that no one would be unduly overwhelmed unless they're outside salvation. If there's somebody here right now lost without the blood of Christ on them, may they run to the cross and Lord, have peace in these days. So, Father, we just commit this time to you now in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 I'm going to ask you this morning to grab your Bibles for a launch point and turn to John chapter 13 today. John 13, and you can take your highlighter and your pen this morning, and I hope to give you references and cross-references that will make sense to you as we look at this update today. John chapter 13, verse 19. And we're looking at a message entitled today regarding prophetic events and this update, Believer or Not. Believer or not, and I'm challenging you, I hope to challenge you, regarding the relevance of today's events in light of your Bible. These are amazing days that we live in. John chapter 13, verse 19, Jesus says, "Now I would tell you before it comes," or "before it comes to pass, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am He," the word ego eimi in Greek. Jesus is saying, I've told you things in advance that when they happen, this ought to be the logical, reasonable, practical response by anyone who hears the future told to them in advance, that you would believe that Jesus Christ is the I am. Most of your Bibles, I hope, either have he dropped, it's not even there, or it's italicized. And that would be accurate. Because the word I am is that Greek word, ego eimi. As it's on the screen, let me read it to you as it appears in the original. Now I tell you before it comes, something is arriving, it's on its way, watch out for it. That when it does come to pass, as you see it show up, and as you see the word of God, the prophets fulfilled, know this, that you may believe that ego eimi, that the one speaking to you right now in John 13, 19 is in fact the eternal God. That is the title of God. The Greek equivalent here, the Hebrew equivalent to the Greek, is what happened when Moses spoke to God atop the mountain and said, "Who do I tell the children of Israel sent me?" And God said to Moses, "You go down and you tell them, I am that I am sent you." The self-contained, forever eternal, never beginning, never ending God. Jesus Christ equates himself with none other than the eternal God. It's an understatement to say that we're living in interesting days with all that's taking place around the world. And I would say, I'd go so far to push it and say we're living in epic times if you know the Bible. And I know that's a tremendously bold statement to make, but I believe that in the brief time we've got it together this morning, I can prove that. But along the whole time today, this is not only to bring the believer up to current event awareness, but the reason why I've entitled it Believer or Not, my hope is that it challenges you who are not Christians today to become believers, to become followers of Jesus. These biblical days are interesting, to say the least, but they're increasing. These are the times in which so much is being aligned and or hint of the prophetic word or God's biblical timeline. And yet there's an exhortation needed this morning, and I need to control myself about this because I'm so angry about what I'm about to share. There are so many people today falling for ministries because I don't know what, but ministries that are denying the return of Jesus Christ. They're denying the imminent return of Jesus Christ. I don't know what in the world has gotten into Christians. Either they're not reading their Bible or they're being deceived, or I don't know if they're Christians. But the Bible says that we're to always be ready because we don't know when the hour is of Christ's return. And then you've got big church movements taking place in Europe and in America. Churches are growing and growing, and pastors are spending their time not teaching prophecy, but mocking it. There are pastors producing videos and writing books on making fun of the doctrine that Jesus could come back at any moment. And they're saying, you don't need to look for Jesus Christ. You need to be looking for the Antichrist. I don't see that in the Bible anywhere. And it really gets me going because the Apostle Paul looked for the coming of Christ. And if he did 2,000 years ago, then shouldn't we? Absolutely. Jesus said it wonderfully. Don't let anybody steal your joy. What a great thing. The Bible says in Titus 2:13, it's not in the notes, you have to write it down. Just popped into my head. Titus 2:13, that while we wait, think about that, while we wait for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That was written 2,000 years ago. We're to be waiting. That's very important. So, as we look and as we prepare for today's run-through of some events, I want you to keep this in mind, that according to the Bible, there's a number increasing regarding those I mentioned a moment ago in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Get this under your belt. Don't be surprised. Expect it. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly," that is by stealth, "bring in," the word means inject, "destructive heresies," that is teachings that are off course. If that was true then, it's more true now. And first of all, Jesus gave us his word that we need to be excited about the last days. If the events of the last days bother you, listen up. Revelation 3:10, Jesus says, "Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon," note, "the whole world." Why? "To test those who dwell on the earth." There is a promised deliverance of the ultimate tribulation period that is coming. It will come to all those who dwell on the earth. But according to Jesus, not to those who are his. Remember, church, the prophetic nature of our God is truly awesome. I've mentioned it numerous times. I'm going to keep doing it until I'm dead. That the prophetic nature of the God of the Bible transcends all claims of all gods in all other written material. And just one great hint is in Isaiah 46, verse 9 and 10. He says, "For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there's none like me. Declaring," and note what sets him apart among us, among people, among humanity in the timeline. "Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done." Sounds like Jesus speaking, right? "I've told you these things in advance that when they come to pass, you will know that I am he." By way of foundation, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Are you writing these down? I've worked hard to bring this to you. You better write them down. 2 Peter 1:16 says, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we heard or made known to you the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." And then finally, by way of introduction, 1 John 1, verse 1. 1 John 1:1, John says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life." How would you like to have touched Jesus, held his hand, touched his shoulder, hugged him, wow, gazed upon him? He says in verse 2, and that life was manifested, and we've seen him, and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That's one of the most awesome claims of the deity of Christ revealed in Scripture. So listen, it'd be very easy with where we're going to go this morning to be swallowed up with depression or fear. But let this news this morning affect you this way. Am I a believer or not? Because we've never been this late in the timeline of human history. That's obvious. Number two, we've never been, think about it, we've never been this far down the road in Bible prophecy like we are this morning. Is that awesome? Say amen. Amen. That's incredible. Well, I don't know. I'm a doubter. I'm not a believer. Or maybe what? One thing's for sure. We've never been down the road this late, this hour, and all of biblical or human history. So don't get swallowed up with fear or depression, but rather be encouraged. Be ready. And so we're going to employ this morning some investigative challenges and some questions. And I've got 10 question-type statements to make. But before I do that, I'm going to ask you to write some things down. They're probably already in your head. And they are basically 6 investigative disciplines that any CSI or investigator is going to employ when they come to something that they want to get the answers to. Number one, as we go through the study today, there's always that who question. The question about, there's the who, like who's done this and who does it involve? Who is speaking? The who. The second thing that I want you to apply today is the what. What's being said? What are we talking about today in this church service? I'm not asking you to believe it right now. I'm asking you to ask yourself this question. Who's the one speaking and what's going on here? Very important. The third thing is when. What's the timeline to all of this? The when question. When? The fourth thing is where. Where are all these things going to take place? What does the Bible say about that? And what should I know about the world in which I live in? And then the question is why? The who, what, when, where, and why? Why is the events of the world happening right now? And they seem to be escalating. Ask the question, why? Listen, parents, for young children, you want to have your kids become very smart? I'm serious. Most parents don't want to empower their kids with this question. But you need to do it. Teach your kid to ask the teacher, ask everybody why. It'd drive the teacher nuts. Yes, you in the corner. Why? Why what? Why is what you just said, teacher, true? Why? God wants you and I to ask the question why. And then how? How will all these things come to pass? How will all these things be fulfilled? So church, here we go. Here we go. Number one, believe it or not. Number one is this. Is the biblical doctrine paramount to you in your life? Believer or not on this? Is the Bible the final say in your life? How many of you would say that the Bible is the final say in your life? And we raise our hands as believers. And as Christians, it's not because we are lemmings running off the end of a cliff. It's because we have studied the Word of God and it has proven to be true. It has proven to be accurate. You can depend upon the Word of God. God's prophetic nature, He announces to you the future in advance and then He begs you to challenge Him to see if it's true or not. Listen, Allah of the Quran cannot do that. Brigham Young or Joseph Smith of the Book of Mormon cannot do that. Those prophets of the Tibetan Book of the Dead cannot do that. All of the religions of the world, Buddhism, Hinduism, cannot do that. It is solely the prerogative of the God of the Bible to say, test me and see on this issue. That's why as believers, the Christian holds God's word paramount in doctrine. Absolutely essential. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Jesus said, do not think that I've come to destroy the law and the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. What does that mean? That means everything written in the Old Testament, Jesus says, amen, it's true, yes. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle, one comma or one hyphen of the Hebrew language will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Jesus Christ had a high view of Scripture. Think of that. So should we. Are you a believer today? It's because you have a high view of Scripture. If you're not a believer today, you don't know Scripture. And I want to put this challenge out to you today. Those who were most often antagonists, self-proclaimed atheists, who took it upon themselves to attack the veracity of God's word, most of them who have done that have written in their discovery, in their investigative work, and they've had a complete turnabout. They become believers. And I could go down a great list, but my hero is C.S. Lewis. I love that guy. Having studied all the comparative religions of the world, the brilliant genius Lewis came to the conclusion that the Bible is in fact true because it can be tested. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Now look, somebody might say to you today, well, Pastor, when the Bible says things like this and like that, for example, when the Bible gives the account when Jesus rose from the dead, there was nobody standing around, so how did Mark know to write that down? Or how did Luke know to write that down when he wasn't even there? Or what about Moses writing the first five books of the Bible? How did he know Genesis 1:1 even happened? That's a good question, right? But the Bible's got a better answer. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God." The Scripture given to the prophets were given to them by God, and they were God-breathed. What does that mean? God impressed upon them. God revealed to them that which they were not eyewitnesses of. Example, Moses, as I said a moment ago. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. This is important to the argument. To hold God's word high above all. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, the Bible says, "Knowing this first, that prophecy of Scripture is not of any private interpretation." That means nobody can make it up and say, "Well, this is what it means to me." Have you ever had somebody tell you that? "Well, this is what the Bible means to me." You cannot do that. "For prophecy," or the revelation of Scripture, "never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved, possessed by the Holy Spirit." This is an awesome statement. Because those portions of Scripture where man did not have eyewitness opportunity, God gives the Moses or the Mark or the Joshua the word, and then time proves it to be true. Profound. Awesome truth. So do you hold God's word biblically paramount in your life? And I hope you do, because that's the only way you can turn to the book of Psalms or Proverbs or Philippians or Corinthians and grab a promise and stand on it. Is God's word overriding truth? Number two, believer or not, is the world, my friend, proving God's point? When you read the Bible, I want to ask you this question. Is the world as it's going now proving God's word, proving God's point? That's a fair question to ask. Believer or not on that? I believe as I look around the world with my Bible open, that is in fact absolutely true. When I see the direction of the world and what the world is doing, the Bible speaks about those very things coming to pass. Now let's look at this together. Watch this. In Luke chapter 17, verse 26, is the world proving God's point? I say it is. In Luke 17, 26, the Bible says, Jesus says, "Now as it was in the days of Noah," so you would need to study the days of Noah to see if Jesus is telling you the truth, "so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man." That is when Christ returns, the days leading up to his coming. "They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all." He's talking about judgment. "Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." Verse 30. "Even so it will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." I have this question for you, believer or not. Is the world and its actions and the things that you read in the newspaper and you see on the nightly news confirming what God said in his word thousands of years ago? It's an overwhelming yes. You don't even have to be a Christian to say yes to that. Jesus said there's going to be a rampant increase, for example, as it was in Sodom and Gomorrah. Rampant increase in sexual... what's the word? Deviancy, perversion. I'm looking for a word that starts with an A. Aberrant. That does start with an A, right? Aberrant behavior, yes. Strange sexual stuff. Jesus said, watch out for that. It's going to increase. Lawlessness, increasing. We'll talk about that more in a moment. When the gospel was going out in the days of Noah, you know, the Bible says Noah preached the gospel. Wouldn't you love to have heard him preach the gospel? Noah, what did that sound like? That he was a preacher of the gospel for 120 years until the day he entered the ark. Nobody believed. Nobody believed him. I would suggest to you today that the world is proving the Bible's claims true regarding the approaching end. Very few people are believing true biblical doctrine anymore. People are giving up. People are departing from the faith. People are embracing strange things. People are even saying, hey, listen, you know what? I can be a Christian and live like this. No, you can't. God says no. Jesus said, watch out for that. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 4, Matthew 24, verse 4, Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. He's talking about the last days. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. In other words, they're offering other plans or roads for salvation. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Wow. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. The end is not yet. And I believe that's where we're at right now. If you were to look at that period right there at the end of verse 6, that's where we're at. For nation will rise against nation. That's on a global scale. By the way, you guys all know what the word nation is, do you not, from previous studies? Ethnos will rise against ethnos in the Greek. Ethnic groups will war against ethnic groups. Blacks against whites. Whites against yellows. Reds against browns. Ethnic warfare. Right here in the Bible. Jesus said it's going to increase. I mean, I could say amen and go home just on that. The world is becoming, and it's not just in America, ladies and gentlemen. Europe's got the same thing happening. The Germans, for example, the Aryan descendants are raging and violent against the blacks of North Africa, and the same with the blacks against the Germans. And it's happening in all kinds of countries. I would submit to you today, Jesus said there'd be days like this. Kingdom against kingdom. Political realms warring against political realms. And there will be famines. It's interesting, the wording implies famines, not because God didn't provide rain or food or crops. It's because of political unrest. Pestilence, incurable diseases, earthquakes in various places. All these things, Jesus said, are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. That means days are going to get worse, increasingly so. And you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. I would submit to you today that Christianity, those who are Christians, are being hated for being Christians, period. Across the board. It's growing. And he says in verse 10, and then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. The loss of love for mankind. Loss of civility, loss of caring. Then many false prophets will arise and deceive many. Wow. Verse 12 is telling. And because of lawlessness abounding, the love of many will grow cold. Lawlessness. First thing I want to show you in our update of what's going on is this is right here in America. In fact, not only is this in America, ladies and gentlemen, but this is in... Costa Mesa. What is that, 30 miles from here? Now, is that a clown? I don't like clowns anyway, so he deserves whatever he gets. But listen. Rioting, increasing. Next slide. Look at this. This is San Jose. San Jose rioting. Rioting. And I'm not showing you Ferguson. That's old news now. I'm not showing you Seattle. I'm not showing you Chicago. I'm not showing you New York. What's going on? You might say, well, that happens in life, but it's increasing. Lawlessness. What about this next slide? This is just yesterday. ISIS. Islamic State drone kills, wounds 13 civilians near Mosul, Nineveh. Mosul is the modern day name of Nineveh. Violence increasing. On a global scale. I only have a brief period of time to talk about it. I left most of my notes back in the other room. We don't have the time. Don't lose heart on this. Don't give up. Don't be depressed about this. Know this. Jesus said, the same one who promised you eternal life said, hey, listen, this is going to happen. Don't lose heart. The world is proving God's point. Use that in your witnessing. Ask people, is the world gone nuts? Yes, it has. They'll all agree with you now. Everybody's going to agree. Say to them, Jesus said this would happen. Engage them. Talk to them. Number three, believer or not, is a third world war in the making? Now, look, I put the question that way, but many, if you go to many of the military sites, the intelligence sites, the global security sites, and there's a host of them, they're very good. You should have them as your source of news. Defense One is one of those sites. Memory, MEMRI.org, probably one of the greatest. Debka File is another. These are great news organizations that are not being spun. They are raw information gatherers. Is a Third World War in the making? If you go to Sebastian Gorka's website, brilliant man. He's one of the greatest, if not the number one rated analyst on asymmetrical war. And they're all saying we are in a third world war. And we've been in one for quite a while. You say, well, but Jack, that's not going to happen, right? Because the Ezekiel battle and then Isaiah and then... Oh, no, no, no. Listen. Listen, everybody. First of all, you can't show me anywhere in the Bible that prophesied the first world war. You can't show me anywhere in the Bible that prophesied the Second World War. You can't show me anywhere in the Bible that prophesied the Korean War. You can't show me anywhere in the Bible of all the wars that have taken place, meaning there could be a third world war that's not written in the Bible. Jesus said there'll be wars and rumors of wars, did he not? Are you a believer in Christ or not? Matters greatly on how you survive these days. But I believe that what we're flirting with and what's going on in the world, and I don't know if you're going to like what I'm about to say here, so. Slide number four, you guys, let's look at this. Petraeus, he was just sent over to Europe and Israel just recently as an envoy. U.S. facing unprecedented threat from China, Russia, Iran, and jihadi groups. It's critical. It's a critical situation, ladies and gentlemen. All the analysts say so. We haven't heard talk like this for a while. There's a reason for that. Next slide. North Korea threatens with war. North Korea. You say, that guy's crazy. That's the problem. That's the problem. North Korea, war with U.S. 10 times... Kim Jong-un threatened America, and it's increasing. Did you see last week he had his stepbrother killed because he thought his stepbrother was going to take the throne, so he had him killed. Killed him, assassinated him. This guy's nuts. Absolutely crazy. Listen to this. Kim Jong-un said the commitment of the U.S. and South Korea to a new missile defense system is pushing the Korean Peninsula to the brink of nuclear war. This is what he said. He's looking for a pretext, if you ask me. North Korea warned on Friday. This is the guy that's been launching missiles for the last couple of years. Out threatening Taiwan and out threatening South Korea and out threatening the region. He's rattling his saber in a very profound way. Listen to this. The statement coincided with the visit by new U.S. Defense Secretary James Mattis to Seoul, Korea, where he pledged to deploy THAAD, the Thermal High Altitude Area Defense System, to protect U.S. and South Korean troops. It's quite miraculous how this thing works. Mattis promised an overwhelming response to an attack mounted by North Korea against South Korea. In other words, there's a new sheriff in town, and if North Korea does anything to South Korea or the region, they're going to get smacked down really hard. Listen, I know nobody wants to hear this kind of talk in church, so if we could all just step outside right now, I'll tell you the truth. Here's the truth. The reason why globally, listen up. The reason why globally people are so upset right now, or certain people are so upset right now with what's happening coming out of America, is because for at least 8 years, the enemies of America have had carte blanche to do whatever they wanted to do. Have you ever had a kid that's used to stealing cookies in the kitchen? And then the new mom or new dad shows up, they smack the little hand, you are not going to steal cookies anymore. Do you know what happens? That little kid thinks the world just came to an end. I want my cookies and I want it now. Listen, for 8+ years, the world has been advancing on evil unchecked. America has led from behind. And this is the fallout. So all of a sudden, by the way, it's not that Trump is some sort of a war maniac. Japan, Singapore, other nations have been pleading for America to step up. Saudi Arabia has been begging us to step up for fear of being attacked. And what's happening now? There's a new sheriff in town saying, don't threaten other countries that don't want to go to war. You put your missiles away. And if you don't, we're going to smack you. That is normal living, ladies and gentlemen. That is how the world works. That's why George Washington, echoed again by Ronald Reagan, and echoed again this weekend by Vice President Mike Pence in Germany. The American doctrine is peace through strength. That was invented by George Washington. If you're strong enough, no one's going to beat up on you. Every schoolboy knows that in the schoolyard. The BBC World News reported, quote, most recently, a former North Korean diplomat who defected to South Korea said in an interview with BBC that Kim Jong-un could, quote, press the button and launch a missile attack against Los Angeles. When asked if Kim would carry out an attack against the west coast of the United States, knowing that the Pentagon would retaliate with overwhelming power, Thae Young-ho, North Korea's former deputy ambassador, he defected, by the way, in London said or replied, yes. Now, I don't know about you, but you talk California, you're talking Los Angeles. The guy wants to nuke L.A.? I don't think it ever happened because it's too close to Disneyland. Who would ever want to destroy Disneyland? It's just not possible. United Nations is at Disneyland, right? I mean, I'm kidding, of course. Believer or not, number four, is the world on the cusp of an event? I should say, is the world on the cusp of events? Believer or not, there's a growing atmosphere of unrest in America. I mentioned that a moment ago. But ever since there's been a change in U.S. policy after this election, socialists, have you noticed, are upset? Leftists are upset. Again, North Korea is upset. The Iranians are furious. Ladies and gentlemen, any day the Iranian mullahs who run the country are upset, that's a good day. They want world dominance and they want to destroy the United States. Yet again this week on the streets of Tehran, millions gathered saying, death to America, death to Israel, death to America, death to Israel. Why did that happen? Because as we'll see in a moment, Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu met this last week and renewed strength between the two nations. And the world that's seeking the annihilation of America and Israel is upset. Listen, we're not in heaven yet. We will someday sing Kumbaya. But the world is violent right now. And I know you come to church. And I don't want to hear this kind of stuff. I understand that. This is an update. It's an update. You need to know what's going on out there. You don't want to hurt anybody. You don't want to beat anybody up. You don't want to nuke anybody. Wouldn't that be great if nobody else wanted to do that? But they do. Tragically, they do. Yes, the Lord will be our strength. Amen. God will protect us. And here's the truth. Look, it doesn't take a nuclear attack. It doesn't take a terrorist attack. You can go out here off the church property, away from our insurance liabilities, slip on a banana and break your neck and die. And you'll be in eternity. The point of the matter is this. Where are you going? Are you a believer or not in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Absolutely essential. But I believe the world is on a cusp of an event. I don't know in what order. But listen to this. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, that verse says, then he, that is the Antichrist, to come, this personage has not yet come to the world, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. It's 7 years, by the way. When you study the weeks of Daniel, there's 7 years. 1 week is 7 years. 2 weeks is 14 years. But in the middle of the week, what's the middle of seven? 3.5. The Bible, by the way, counts that as 1,260 days because it's a Babylonian calendar. It's 360-day years. In the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to the sacrifice and to the offerings. That's to the Jewish people. Now, listen. I have to tell you something. I'm so excited because, you know, you study the Bible and it's like, okay, yep, that makes sense. And looking closer at one little word blew my mind in light of news this week. I just, in the past, I must confess, for 40 years, I looked at the word and it was fine for me. And then digging deeper into the word this week in light of what happened in America this week, I just freaked. So are you ready? And if you're not impressed, fake it. Okay? Because this is important. Look at Daniel 9:27. It says, then he shall confirm. You circle the word confirm. And it's the Hebrew word gabar. And what does that word mean? It means to be stronger. The word means to make more strong. The word means to make to prevail or to, you would reinforce it. The word means to put power to something already existing. Are you listening? I can't believe I never saw this before. But something happened this week in America that is exactly why we're doing this study today. To give us hope and enlightenment and understanding. And here it is. And I want you to listen. I find this next clip I'm going to show you extremely significant in light of what I just told you. Listen, the Antichrist is going to come along and he's going to strengthen something that already exists. He's going to confirm it. Listen.
I would like to see a deal be made. I think a deal will be made. I know that every president would like to. Most of them have not started till late because they never thought it was possible. And it wasn't possible because they didn't do it. But Bibi and I have known each other a long time. A smart man, great negotiator. And I think we're going to make a deal. It might be a bigger and better deal than people in this room even understand. That's a possibility. So let's see what we do.
Listen, I'm going to show you another clip in a second. Here's the deal. The deal is peace in the Middle East, giving Israel the security that it longs for, right? And you're going to find out that behind the doors in private meeting, Netanyahu and Trump were talking. You say, how do you know? Because Netanyahu either takes advantage of the moment or he makes a mistake. And the issue is peace in the region and creating a deal. I'm not saying that Netanyahu or Trump is the Antichrist. What I'm saying is if these two longtime friends are able to create a deal that brings peace, this is what blew my mind. The Antichrist doesn't make the deal. He confirms the deal. He strengthens the deal. Say, ooh, nah. He comes along and he says, hey, you know that deal? I'm going to confirm it. I'm going to make it stronger. I'm going to establish it. Could this be? We've never had a presidency and a prime minister at a time like this, at a moment like this. And it makes sense to me all of a sudden. These guys love each other. I don't know if you know that. These guys are really good friends. You think that's a do you think that's a coincidence in the global scene? God has established this. To what ends? I don't know. But as a believer, I'm to be looking and watching. I'm to be judging everything. Next clip.
The two prerequisites of peace, recognition of the Jewish state and Israel's security needs west of the Jordan, they remain pertinent. We have to look for new ways, new ideas on how to reinstate them and how to move peace forward. And I believe that the great opportunity for peace comes from a regional approach, from involving our newfound Arab partners in the pursuit of broader peace and peace with the Palestinians. And I greatly look forward to discussing this in detail with you, Mr. President, because I think that if we work together, we have a shot.
And we have been discussing
that. Listen,
and it is something that is very different, hasn't been discussed before. And it's actually a much bigger deal, a much more important deal in a sense. It would take in many, many countries, and it would cover a very large territory. So I didn't know you were going to be mentioning that, but that's now that you did. I think we have some pretty good cooperation from people that in the past would never, ever have even thought about doing this. So we'll see how that works out.
Okay? First of all, when Trump... apparently, Trump can keep a secret because he said, I didn't know you were going to say anything about that. Do you see that? That's significant, ladies and gentlemen. I've never seen that before regarding Daniel 9:27 because we've never had a situation like this before. It's possible. They've already been talking to Arab nations that are fed up with many aspects of Islam. They are. They're fed up with it. And they now view Israel as an ally rather than an enemy. And they're talking, backdoor talking already. There's five nations, by the way, five of them. Remarkable. I'm going to go really fast, right? Lord, please. Regarding... by the way, the deal, there cannot be, there will not be peace in the Middle East unless ISIS is destroyed. It's impossible. Next slide, you guys. General Petraeus met up with the Israeli defense minister, Lieberman. And in this, they've been plotting and making plans, and Petraeus, as that envoy, notice, Lieberman proposes anti-terror coalition as path to peace. That is exactly the same thing that you heard a moment ago between Netanyahu and Trump. I am so proud, ladies and gentlemen, please go and look at this in detail. It's about 20, 22 minutes long in detail, in total. I won't give you that now. I am just so proud because I told you guys before, some 6 years ago, I had a great opportunity to meet Vice President Mike Pence and literally lay hands on him, pray for him as he's a prayer partner at the Family Research Council. And he's a real true brother. And I don't know if you saw, but this weekend he was speaking to the European, these national leaders of Europe are they are basically the defense secretaries to secure the security of the European nations. And it was really great to hear. Let's have a little clip of this.
Today, the leading state sponsor of terrorism continues to destabilize the Middle East. And thanks to the end of nuclear-related sanctions under the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, Iran now has additional resources to devote to these efforts. Let me be clear again. Under President Trump, the United States will remain fully committed to ensuring that Iran never obtains a nuclear weapon capable of threatening our countries, our allies in the region, especially Israel.
Especially Israel. We haven't heard this in a long time.
Throughout the Middle East, radical Islamic terrorists have found safe havens and secured vast resources that have allowed them to launch attacks here in Europe and inspire attacks in the United States. Driven by evil, they target their own communities, their fellow Muslims, indiscriminately killing or enslaving those who reject their apocalyptic mania. From Yemen to Libya, Nigeria to Syria, the rise of extremist groups ranging from ISIS and Al-Qaeda to Al-Shabaab and Boko Haram endanger millions, including many faith-based peoples whose roots in their homelands extend into the midst of history. ISIS is perhaps the greatest evil of them all. It's shown a savagery unseen in the Middle East since the Middle Ages. As President Trump has made clear, the United States will fight tirelessly to crush these enemies, especially ISIS and its so-called caliphate, and consign them to the ash heap of history where they belong.
By the way, that's not just talk. In the last 7 days, ISIS is fleeing from Raqqa, its head base. ISIS is being broken up. He's wasted no time. Here's the point, ladies and gentlemen. You can't have a peace agreement in the Middle East if ISIS is running around doing what it wants. Something's going to happen with ISIS. Something's going to happen in the Middle East. Very, very, keep your eye. We're on the cusp of something I do not know. But whatever's going on is going on quick. And I'm going to have to end this message quick. Number five, believer or not, is evil increasing in the world today? I don't think I need to elaborate on that. Unprecedented evil. Number six, is there talk of the end of the world everywhere? Are people talking about the end of the world? Did you know that the bulletin of the atomic scientist, you ought to have that as one of your favorite links on your computer. The bulletin of the atomic scientist, that's an actual site. Have you ever heard of the doomsday clock? They are the doomsday clock people. They're physicists and scientists from around the world. Doomsday clock, humanity might be edging closer to its end, says these world scientists. Why? They measure the world, they measure what's going on, they look at military situations and all. And with Islam, watch this. They said in their documents, in fact, one more slide just for documentation's sake. Doomsday clock, menacing metaphor of the nuclear age. They just moved the doomsday clock closer to midnight. I think it's 3.5 minutes from midnight, that midnight being the end of the world. Now, remember, these are not believers, but the global scientists are saying we are near the end of the world because of all that's taking place. And if the world is talking about it, shouldn't the church be talking about it? It shouldn't scare us, but it should prepare us to go tell our neighbors, tell our friends, hey, Jesus is coming. Get ready. Love him. He died on the cross for your sins. Follow God. Know his word. But the doomsday clock has been moved ahead in the last few weeks. And this is what they cite. Because Trump's presidency has put the world radicals on notice, it pushes us more toward nuclear war. You say, see, Trump's going to push us into nuclear war. What you don't realize is Trump just moved the mask of what was already there. You ever walk into a room where there's rats and roaches and you flip the light on? You flip the light on and they all go running around. The light has been switched on. For whatever reason, I don't know, that's a God thing. But many hopeful nations in the world today are excited. They're excited because there's a breath of air happening. And just this morning, I got a push notification from DEPCA and Defense One. We've just recently, in a matter of hours, we just deployed a U.S. aircraft carrier to the South China Sea because China's really acting strange. Remarkable. The talk of the end. Number seven, is what's going on in the world provoking you? Provoking you to faith, I hope? You're going to be provoked by something. Now, you look around the world, don't lose hope. I've never been more thankful for everything in my life than now. I'm so grateful to have salvation. I'm so grateful to live in this country. I'm so grateful to know you. But listen, is what's happening in the world provoking you to make a decision? I hope so. I hope you're paying attention. I hope you're listening. Number eight, is there hope for you in these days? Need I elaborate? Is there hope? Are you kidding? There's overwhelming hope. Remember the one who said in these last days, such things will be happening, is the same one who said that if he goes to the cross, he will cause all men to look unto him. Think about that. Jesus, the same one who's promised us eternal life, is the same God who overrides and overrules in the affairs of men. And the Bible says, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. That you put your faith in Christ to forgive you of your sins and give you of eternal life. The same God who keeps the prophetic promises, keeps the promises of salvation. Yeah, there's hope in these days. Number nine, is the intervention of God needed in our day? Do we need God to intervene? And therein is our great hope, maybe the greatest for us as believers, revival. Revival. I told you that the Family Research Council had information that leading up to the election, over 15,000 prayer meetings were taking place in America. Those prayer meetings, many of them are continuing. There's an increase in prayer happening at this church. God's people are praying. Listen, you all understand that the Messiah does not arrive on Air Force One. Do you get that? Our hope is not in the White House. We already know our hope is not in the State House. Our hope is in God's house. God moves among his people, and he's asking us to pray, and we'll pray for revival. We'll ask God, Lord, shake up this nation. I'm so excited, you guys. I came out of the latter end of the Jesus Movement revival in Orange County that swept America. And you know what? It's been 40 years. 40 years. And if you study revivals, we're due. Revivals happen between 38 and 42 years. That's the cycle of a generation. Our young people have sunk to a pit of depravity and sin, just like in the days of the free love, free everything hippies. They got sick of it. They got sick of free sex. They got sick of free drugs. They got sick of freedom the way that they thought freedom was. And they came to Christ. My goodness, I went to a church where people were smoking pot in the parking lot and going in to hear Chuck Smith teach the Bible. What happened to them? Drunk, loaded, they got saved. Isn't that amazing? Hippies got up. One of the elders had told Chuck Smith, listen, these people don't have shoes on. We need to make them put shoes on because we just put in new carpet. And Chuck Smith said, if that's the issue, tear up the carpet. Listen, we're at that time again. We've got kids that are sexed out, drugged out, stoned out, fed up. We got kids. That means we've got kids ready for the gospel. They're looking for authenticity and real faith. It's up to us to invite them to Christ. And then finally, is your life ready to get right with God? Believer or not, is your life ready? It's an amazing thing to realize that for the first time in human history, the Jewish people will be there in about 7 weeks. We'll see those banners again. The Jewish people are looking for a Messiah right now. They have banners of men that they think should be their Messiah. The Jews are looking for a Messiah. They're looking for a Messiah that will alleviate their scourge from the earth and the persecution against the Jewish people and confirm the Jewish nation. They're looking for a Messiah. Tragically, we know who they're going to fall for. The false Messiah, the Antichrist. Did you know that for the first time in human history, the Jews are looking for a Messiah and so are the Muslims? The Muslims are looking for the Mahdi. They're looking for their final arriving Messiah. If you've ever read Islamic eschatology, if you read the description of the Mahdi, the Messiah of Islam, he comes back and he destroys Christians and Jews and he kills them. And when you read about his antics, it's a description of the biblical Antichrist. And then there's the Christian. The Christian believes that the biblical indicators are aligning and amassing regarding the season of the return of Christ. Jesus said, when you see these things begin to happen, Look up, for your redemption draws near. Listen, one of those three faith groups are going to be wrong, or right, I should say. One of them are going to be right. Judaism's looking for the wrong Messiah. Islam's got the wrong Messiah. We've got the right one because, listen, we've not created him. We've read the Bible. And I want to end with this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says to all of us today, Hebrews 10:24 says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love. Think of that verse. Let's prod and provoke and push one another to acts of love, good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Father, we praise you and thank you that at times like these, the believer can take a great breath and sigh of relief because we don't know exactly what tomorrow holds, but as the old saying goes, we know him who holds tomorrow. We look around at the world and we see the violence and the civil unrest and the saber rattling of war and the threats. We see Israel front and center on the news scene. We see all that's taking place, and rather than giving up, popping a pill or grabbing a drink, because we know your word, we say, Lord, make me ready. Lord, may my heart be right before you. And like in the days of King Hezekiah, when Isaiah said to him, prepare your house. You're going to die. For all of us, we don't know the day or the hour for us, but may we all prepare our house, as it were, that we'd make sure that we have faith in Jesus Christ and him alone, Messiah, Savior, King of kings and Lord of lords, the way, the truth, and the life, who died on the cross and rose again from the dead. Is our faith fully and completely upon him and him alone? And friend, today, if you're not a believer, I literally beg of you, grab me, grab somebody, but I hope it's me. Grab me and tell me why you are not a believer. I challenge you today. I bet you the reason why you don't trust Christ is because you have some personal offense. You've been hurt or damaged in some way, and you're taking it out on the God that loves you. And I beg of you today, get your eyes off of me and anyone else around you, and get your eyes on Jesus. He's never hurt you. He never will. He's never harmed you. He never will. The very one that you resist is the very one you need. And I ask you to come to him today by just simply calling out to him. Church, let's stand together and let's pray as we continue. Pray with me out loud, church, if you would. Dear Lord, we invite you today to make us ready to tell all that we know about the hope that's in Christ. We love you, Lord. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you guys.